Okay. So, for our final shir on Hilchos Avodah Zarah of the Rambam, I wanted to take up some of the topics in the 11th perek, which discusses all the prohibitions against magic. We can't cover every topic within the 11th perek, so I'm going to try to set up a framework for understanding some of the issues. And in the second half, I want to deal specifically with the shayla of palm reading, not because it's usually the ma'isa, because it was an actual shayla I got a few months ago. Friend of mine, who was a student in Gush when I was in the Kollel, called me a few months ago that he's in Princeton and in a creative writing class, and the teacher decided that in order to give them material for a story they were supposed to write at the end of the year, they should go to New York, like to the city, to Manhattan, and experience different things that they could use for creative writing. And one of the things they wanted to do was take them to a palm reader, not because they believed in it, just because they thought it could potentially be used in the creative writing story. So he'd called me to ask whether it was mutter. So I never really thought about the issue. I sent it around on the Gush Rabbinic email list, got some responses, and then it was forwarded on I didn't know it was forwarded on, but it was forwarded on to Ari Leibowitz. But then I saw on Why You Torah I share pop up by Ari Leibowitz, and then he read out my email to the group. So he said a quick answer, which I didn't agree with, so then I called him and told him, not only do I not agree, your Rebbe or Schechter thought it was us, or you think it's Mutter. So then we proceeded to have a long discussion about it back and forth and developed some sort of perspective on the issues. That we'll do the second half, but I want to set that up. So this was, in fact, a real shayla, even if it sounds like it's unlikely. Okay, so the Rambam in Perek Yud Aleph writes as follows. So he starts Perek Yud Aleph, Ein holchen b'chukos ha'ov de kol chavin mei medamen lehen lo b'malbush v'lo m'seir b'chayot zibahen. We're not supposed to go in the ways of idolaters. We're not supposed to be like them in clothes and hair and the like. Sh'ne'emar v'lo se'chu b'chukos ha'goyim v'ne'emar b'chukos ha'em lo se'lechu. Many, many psukim that tell us don't follow their ways. They all come to the same point. Don't be like them. And our goal is to be separate, to be unique. As Hashem said, that you will be, right, you'll be separate, you'll be distinct from the nations. So within that context, the Rambam says that this prohibition, which seems to be a subsidiary of the laws of Avodah Zarah, and not only is it prohibited to worship idols, but you can't be part of the idolatrous culture. So therefore, we have this Isser of Chukas Akum. So one of the things that seems to be, on a biblical level, under that rubric, are all the prohibitions against magic. So in this parak, in Halacha Daled, the Rambam starts, don't do nichosh. What's nichosh? Ketzed hua nachash. Kon elu she'omrim ho'ol v'nafla. It's someone who his bread fell out of his mouth or his stick fell out of his hand, and he takes that as an omen, and he says, now I'm not going to go to such and such a place because what I want to happen won't happen. If a fox passes by, so he won't leave his house that day. Because he takes that as an omen that he will be hurt by a deceptive person. They make a big deal of something you heard from a bird. It's good to do this, it's bad to do that. Anything that you make a simon for yourself, you make a symbol, you make an omen for yourself, and say, if such and such happens, I'll do this. And if not, the way Eliezer does in Chayei Sarah, to figure out who to choose as a wife for Yitzchak. And anyone who acts on such one of these omens, he gets lashes. for a moment, let's leave the Ravid. Right? I just gave one halacha, but we'll see more of them. The Rambam's summary of the whole parak, though, in halacha tezayin is important. Right? The Rambam has a position here. Now, why is it? If I asked you, why is it that all these different magical Isurim exist? So you have really two directions to take. One is going to be the Rambam, which is all of these are false. They don't work. And the only thing that happens when you follow them is that you're led astray from God, and therefore they're Asur. The other possibility, which is many other Isurim, such as the Ramban, is no, the problem isn't that they don't work. The problem is that they do work. Right? The problem is that they're real. And because they're real, so you can't, right? That's exactly why you can't follow them, because you're now tapping into some evil forces, you're tapping into, you know, demonic forces, or whatever you're doing, you're tapping into the power of idolatry, and that's why it's prohibited. If it was worthless, then maybe it wouldn't be Asur. I mean, maybe it would be Asur Midrabanan, maybe Asur at a different level, as we'll see. Actually, I don't think I put it here, but Achiz is saying Nayim, deceptive magic is also Asur, and as part of this rubric. But the Rambam takes a position, the reason all these things are asur is because they're meaningless, because they're worthless. So in Halacha Dezayin, he says, Udvar ma'elu kulan divrei sheker v'chazav hein. These are all false. V'heim shehitu behen avdei kochavim ha'kadmonim l'goya aratzos k'dei she'inagu achareyen. And these were what the idolaters, the early idolaters, used to lead people astray after them. V'ein roi li'Yisrael she'im chachomim mechukamim l'himashech b'havalim elu v'lo l'halos alev she'ish b'tolos b'hen. And wise Jews should not even think, should not be led astray, should not even think that there's any benefit. Sh'nemar kilo nachash b'yakov v'lo kesem b'Yisrael. Because the pasuk says in the brachos that Bilam ends up giving to the Jews that they don't have magic, they don't have divination. And the pasuk says that the non-Jews, the nations of Canaan, they do follow these things, but you know. And anyone who thinks that they're true, they have powers, and the Torah just said it's asur. Eino elam in aschalim and mechasrei adas uvechal hanoshim vaktanim shein daiton shleima. He's a fool, and right, who's not full, who doesn't have his intellect fully formed. Aval bale achachma utmimei adas yedu berayas bruros shekol elu advarim shasra torah einam divrei chachma elatov vehevel shenimshu ben chasrei adas v'nachu kol darkei emes v'gol. And anyone who's wise will know that these things are false, they're meaningless, and only those stupid people were led after them. V'nezeam ratorik shezgira kol elu ha'avolim tomim tiyem ha'shem lokech. And that's why God tells you to be perfect, to be complete with God. So,
well, does work. Like being 1 in 100,000. Why are these animals like a fox, not like another animal? Maybe it's 1 in 100,000. You see a fox crossing your paths. Maybe something does happen.
Right, but that doesn't mean it worked. That just means that by chance it overlapped. Right. I mean, the Rambam's point is there's no causal relationship between any of these things and anything happened. Right. It could be that a fox will pass your door and something bad will happen. It could be a fox will pass your door and something bad won't happen, and vice versa. Right. The point is, it doesn't matter, because there's no causal connection between them. Right? There is, according to the Rambam, there is no such thing. Right? There is absolutely no such thing as anything which works. Right? That's the Rambam's position. Again, right? If it works once, that doesn't prove anything. Right? That's like the old. Right, there's an old experiment in the 50s, I think it was. Right, you've heard this, the stock market prophecy experiment. Now, so what they did was they took, I forget how many people it was, 4,000 or something like that. What they did, they divided up a group of people, and they called these 4,000 people and said, tomorrow the stock market is going to go up, and 2,000, they said it was going to go up, 2,000, they said it's going to go down. So then, for 2,000 of them, they were right, 2,000 they were wrong. Day two, they call, they divide the 2,000 into 1,000 and 1,000, right? And now they tell 1,000 of them the stock market's going to go up, and then half of them the stock, or a specific stock is going to go down. And then they did the same the next day, 500, 500, then 250, 250, then 125, 125, and then whatever, let's divide it about, let's say 60, right? Then 30, then 15, then you know, whatever, 7, right? By the end, right, they wanted to show that by pure chance you could convince somebody, right, that you're a prophet, because now you've been right, You know, you've had this anonymous caller who's called you seven times and has told you that the stock was going to go up or down. You got it perfectly right. So it can be that things would happen. The Rambam's point is that you can't believe that there's a causal connection because there isn't. Okay. Now, the Rambam says, therefore, that all these prohibitions, in addition to the individual prohibitions, the Torah has a general warning about them called Tamim Tiyah. Now, according to the Rambam, it seems like Tamim Tiyah, Mashem Elokecha, is not a additional Isser, it's a summary. Right? It's all the reason that all these things, these magic things you can't relate to, is because they lead you away from God. And therefore, God tells you, be complete with me. Now, what happens if there's something which is quasi-magical but isn't under the specific prohibitions that are found in the Perek? Well, I didn't give you the whole Perek, but under Nichosh and under Me'onein and under Kosem and under Chover Chaver and all those different prohibitions. What if you have something that isn't under that category? So, the Rambam says they're still Aser, because if you look at number two, he says, if you violate any of these, you get malchus. Some of them are chayiv misa, some of them are malchus. Right? Lo mishu yishol kosem, fine. But he says, if you ask the diviner, if you engage in the actual divining, so that's the Isser that gets you Malkus. But let's say you just ask the diviner to divine something for you. So what Isser is that? So he says, Hasha'ilu l'kosem migune me'od. So the Rambam says it's not, you don't get Malkus, but it's migune me'od, it's disgusting, and it sounds like sort of on a biblical level. Right? It's, I don't know, it's a derivative of the biblical Isser, or it's the Tam HaMitzvah that emerges from the biblical Isser, but the upshot of these is that anything, even if it's not on this formal list, is still biblically looked down upon. So the Rambam doesn't think it's a separate prohibition. The Rambam thinks that anything that's not on the list, right? According to the Rambam, anything that's not on the list is migune under the general rubric of magic, but he's not actually a separate prohibition. The one who argues on that, as we'll see. Correct. The Rambam thinks Tamim Tiyah is the summary pasuk, but not a separate one. The Ramban, on the other hand, thinks, like Eli just said, that no, Tamim Tiyah is not a summary pasuk. It, in fact, introduces a new Isser. So if you look at number three, the Gemara says, Minayin Shein Shalim Bit Chaldeim. How do you know you don't ask the Chaldeans, right, who were, as Rashi says, in four Baalei Ov. So Shinamar Tamim Tiyem Hashem Elokecha, because it says you should be Tamim with God. So the Rashbam says, Kaldiyim, Balei Ov Kach Beish Rabbeinu. He said, Rashi says these are Balei Ov. Lo Nihira, the Kroksiv Behed Yal Tifnu El Haovos. It can't be that Tamim Tiyah tells you don't ask Bal Ov. Bal Ov is an Isser D'oraisa, it's called Ov. Va'ani Shamati Chozim Mekochovim V'cheneker. It must just be that it's additionally prohibited to ask astrologers. Right? It's not any of the other magical Isserim. It's just, right, a general prohibition against asking astrologers. In the Chuvas Rashba, number 6, he says, V'shem Adas Rashi, tells me, tries to defend Rashi, he says, Lo l'shol behem sh'yasu ma'aseh v'gidol sh'lasu k'sho'el ov v'dor shal me'isim l'shabali ov asu ma'aseh v'shamu v'achar kein ba'zeh v'shol mehem ma'chidu sh'yesh ba'olam sh'zeh ein bo ela mishum tamim tiyah. So he said, maybe the difference is whether you ask them to do something, right? Like you ask them, give me advice so that I know what to do, which would be the biblical Isser. Or you might just ask them, hey, what's going on in the world? Right? They didn't have the internet. They couldn't figure out what's going on the other side of the world by a click of a button. Right? So if they wanted to know what was going on the other side of the world, they asked a magician. So he said that maybe is, right, not the Isser D'oraisa of, oh, that's Tamim Tiyah, but it's a separate prohibition. The Ramban takes it explicitly. He takes it like the Rashbam, that has nothing to do with Ov. It's what Eli said, that in addition to all the prohibitions against magic, there's another prohibition, an aseh. There's a positive mitzvah to actively avoid anything in this category. So look in 7, the Ramban says, in the Shichas Asin, right, in the aseh is that he thinks the Rambam left out. It said, Mitzvah Shminish, Nesaven Elios, Libenu Tamim, Imo Yisbarach, Vahu Shnemar Tamim Tiyem Hashem Elokecha. There's another mitzvah to be complete with God, which is what Tamim Tiyem means. The Inyan Hatzava Azo Shinachal Avinu Elav Levado Yisbarach Shnamen Shu Levado Oseh Kol V'hu Ayodeh Amitas Kol Ased Umimenu Levado Nidrash Abaz Mini Avo Me'ache Chasidav Ratzalomar Urum V'tumim Lo Nidrash Me'ach It means, it's a general thing, don't devote yourself to God, believe that if you want the future, you ask Nevi'im, you ask Urim Betumim, don't ask all these magicians, these astrologers, whoever. And he says, and if you hear from the astrologers, so don't believe that it could happen, because God can, even if it was true that they saw something in the stars, God could undo it. And believe that what happens to us is a function of how close we are to God, and not believe that it's a function of the stars, the zodiac, like the non-Jews in Eretz Yisrael believe. And this is what we learn in Psachim. These were the end of the astrologers. Reading goes on in this direction, that there's a separate asay called Tamim Tiyam Hashem Elokecha, that you're supposed to actively be with God, and that means anything that's not under the formal prohibitions is Asur Midin asay. Megillas Esther in 8 says, why didn't the Rambam say this? He says, Mashalom Anah HaRav Eino L'chashu Shemitzvah Kolel Esh L'fisha Bazar Zeh Kolo Kol Amor L'mayla Barjah Minyan Me'onin V'nachay Shem HaChashev. It's not that the Rambam doesn't think it's a mitzvah. He thinks it's the mitzvah Kolel Esh of all the other magic. And the Rambam's rule is you don't count a mitzvah kolelas. A mitzvah which includes everything is a separate mitzvah. Okay, so what we have therefore is according to, we have two things. We have all the different prohibitions that are formally usher, ma'onein, mechoshev, mechover, chaver, etc., etc. And then we have everything else. And anything else which is magical, but is not under the formal prohibitions. According to the Ramban, there is a chiyuv asay of tamim tia that will sweep in all the other magical things, reading the stars, right, astrology and the like. And the Rambam says that it might be a quasi de'oraisa, not a separate asay, but what he calls miguna me'od under kosem, right? It's a, I don't know, a derivative of kosem or something like that, but it has biblical resonance, right? That's how it sounds like for the Rambam. Okay, so that is sort of just the background of what we have, right? We have the formal Isurim, and then we have things which are not under the formal prohibitions against magic, which may be us or anyways under some biblical law. Okay. Now, that's point one. Now, the second point is what I'd already intimated at before, is that there's a second general question, which is, okay, why are these things usher? So again, the Ramban thinks that they're usher because they work. Right? They work, but they can be overridden, right, by Hashem, and therefore they're irrelevant, but they do at some level work. They tap into some forces out there in the world. And the Rambam says, no, they're usher because they don't work. They're false. And they're all ways that we are led astray from the truth. And this becomes, for the Rambam, a theory in general, right? And the Rambam just doesn't just say it in Hilchos Avodah Zarah. If you look in 9, for example, the Rambam says it whenever he can. So in Hilchos Mezuzah, which has nothing to do with magic, you would think, the Rambam says, Minu Pashut, Shekosrim al Mezuzah, Mibachutz, Keneged Arevach, Shavin Barsha, Barsha, Shakai, Ve'ein Bezehefzeh, Lefishu, Mibachutz. So there's a minhag that we all know that you put the shin or the shin dalad yud or whatever, right? You put the right shakai on the outside of the mezuzah itself, and then we put a shin on the maybe on the mezuzah cover, but fine. The point is you write it on the outside, that's fine. Aval elu shikosim b'fnim shemas hamalachim or shemas kedoshim or pasuk or chosamos. But those people who write names of God or names of malachim in the megill in the like the in the cloth itself. Harein bechal misha ein lam chelak l'olam haba. These are the people who have no portion of the world to come. She'elu hatipshim lo daylam shebitlu hamitzvah. Not these idiots. Not only have they nullified the mitzvah, el shasu mitzvah gedola shuyichor Hashem shal kodesh baruch hu vahavasu vavodaso. They took the mitzvah mezuzah, which is about unifying God's name and loving Him. Ki'ilu hu kmeya shahanoyas atzmon, as if it's their, it's a amulet for their own benefit. K'mosha Allah alibam hasachal shezeu davar mahana behavle ha'olam, as if this is something that helps. Right? The Rambam, this is the Rambam's, you know, theory of life. We avoid anything which is not Torah. Right? We don't, and it doesn't matter whether that's Me'oneinu mechashev, and it doesn't matter if it's Shemos HaMalachim written inside of your mezuzah. Anything which takes you away from straight, rational Avodas Hashem is false, is heresy, is Avodah Zarah, is everything bad, right? Avoid it. That's the Rambam Shita of life. Now, that theory ran a bit contrary to some people. Famously, the Gra. The Gra has a comment, which is not clear he wrote, but he may have written, in Yoredei HaSimon Kuf Ayin Tes, meaning the Simon about magic, where he summarizes this position. He says, the Rambam, Rabbi Chen Kodesh Bereshit Mishnah Perek Dalet Avos Kochavim, this is number 10. I will call a boim achrav chalku alav. Everyone after the Rambam argued on him. Sharei harmei loch Hashem nemru b'gemara, v'hunim shach acharapila sofia ha'arura. So how do I know it's false? Because Gemara talks about magic left, right, and center. He was led after the accursed philosophy. V'lochein kosev shekvashim v'shekshafim v'shemos v'lochashim v'shedim u'kmeos. And therefore, and he does a nice summary. The Rambam rejected magic and demons and all that stuff. Hakolu sheker, agvalahiku osan al kadkado, but there he smacked them upside the head. Right? Sharei, I guess the best translation of hikos alav al kadkado. Sharmatsinu arbe maisios bigamara al pishemos akshafim, but you see that in the Gemara all the time. Magic and shemos akhlesh baruchu, they're doing magic or whatever. Va pilosophia, he tossed over Birov. But the philosophy made him reread the whole Gemara and read it not the way it simply read. And Chas v'Shalom, I don't believe that. I don't believe anything related to it. I'll call it from him kepashtan el sheyish bam penimios. Lo penimio shobali philosophia, shizarkin oso la ashpashim chitsonios, elo shobali emos. And they have inner meaning, not the inner meaning of philosophers who throw them in the garbage, right? But only the true, those who know the truth, by which he means mikubalim, right? The Gra being a mikubal, so that is what he means. Okay, if you look in number 11, in the Sefer Kiryat Ne'emana, he quotes from Arav Tzvi Hirsch, Kalten Ellenbogen, who was a Talmud of the Gra, or a Talmud of Talmud of the Gra, I don't remember exactly. He says, Me'olam lo yatsu hadvar me'elu me'ito mipekat shel Gra. Never happened, right? The Gra never said this. This is a forgery, and there's a lot of discussion about whether the Gra actually said it. But for our purposes, right, what's important is on point number two, right? Point number one is, what category would we put all these magical things in? And that we said it's either specific or these general prohibitions of Tamin Tiyeh or the Davar Megune Me'od. The second question is, why are these things prohibited? Is it because they work or because they don't work? The Rambam, they don't work. And the possibly apocryphal Gra, possibly real Gra, sort of epitomizes the other school, which is, no, these things actually work. And the point, the reason they're usher is because they work. Okay. What would be an easy way to see a nafkamina of this, so to speak, would be, okay, is there any time that there would be something which is, let's say, meta-rational or non-rational, I don't want to say anti-rational, but like irrational implies anti-rational, so let's say irrational, right? Anything which is not explained by rationality, which could be mutter, which could be, right, in the category of things which are mutter. Now, according to the Rambam, the answer is probably no, right? Because the Rambam doesn't just have an opposition to things which are related to Avodah Zarah. He has a opposition to anything which is not rationally explainable because it is heker v'sh, you know, it's hevel havalim. But could there be anything that would work? Okay, so this is what I wanted to sort of set up. Right, like I said, I'm not going to get through everything. What I want to do is set up a framework to understand the issues. So, the Rambam Lishitaso is not going to have any exceptions. But if you're, let's say, of this camp of the Gra, right, that the reason these things are usher is because they work, but they're from the world of Avodah Zarah, then if you had a quasi-magical thing, which was Altaras HaKodesh, so then it would be mutter, right? Now, what would be an example of that? And this is, I think, my proof to this framework.
Kamehameha.
So, Kamehameha would be a good one, right? Potentially.
The Rambam
right?
mentions Kamehameha.
Right, the Rambam mentions Kamehameha.
There's anything wrong with Kamehameha.
Well, the kameya is actually complicated in their own. Some kameyas are good, because also kameya can include different things. The one I chose, which I think is nice to put it in, is psokli psukecha. The Gemara talks about that sometimes when chachamim would want to figure out what to do, they would do psokli psukecha. They would go over to a katan, they would go over to a child, and they say, "What are you learning?" And whatever pasuk they were learning, they took that as a nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? So psokli psukecha, if you think that the problem of these quasi-idolatrous things is because they're related to idolatry, they might work, but they lead you away from God. So if the way you divine things is psokli psukecha, so then it's leading you to God, right? You tell a, or the equivalent, right? I think I put sources on this, but I may have not because I may have run out of space. Is there possibly any room to the Goral HaGra, right? Which is a form of psokli psukecha, right? Where you're using Chumash, you're using Torah to, right, figure out what to do. Or...
is that something like a Shmona Esrei? When you go to Arskel, they have your name...
No, that's Tefillah through Malachim. That's like... I mean, I don't think the Rambam would like that either, because the Rambam doesn't like you davening to Malachim or invoking Malachim. But that's it. That's part of the Rambam's theory, as the Gra already notes, right? His whole way of relating to the supernatural is in that. But a psokli psukecha, Goral HaGra, that type of thing, right, is going to be a test case, right? Or how do you understand the notion of Simna Milsa, right? That we have Simanim, right? On Rosh Hashanah, we have Simanim, right? That we eat the carrot, which will somehow lead us to have a better year. We eat the apple and honey, right? Are you going to say either that's ridiculous, or are you going to come up with an explanation that has nothing to do with affecting things in the metaphysical world, or are you going to say no? In a Hanami, there can be things, al Taras HaKodesh, right, that have powers. The Rambam, Lishi Tazo, just rejects all of this. If you skip to 14, I'm going to leave out what I put here in 12 and 13. Look at 14. The Rambam says, Misha Amar Dirazu Shabanisi Simen Tov Haisa Alai. Someone said, this house which I built is a Simen Tov for me, right? It's good luck. This woman that I married, parenthetically, the woman you marry should be good luck for you. This is not a metaphysical claim, but okay, close parentheses, but fine. I've been blessed since I got married, since I bought this animal, this house, whatever. And someone who asks a child, or someone who asks a child, what pasuk are you learning him? Omer lo pasuk ben abrachos yismach, v'yomer zeh simen tov. And if someone, and if the child tells him a good pasuk, he'll be happy, and vice versa. Kol eilu v'chayot ben mutter, ho v'lochim en masa, v'lo nimna min lasas, el asa zeh simen latzol adavar, shekvar hoya harei zeh mutter. So the Rambam says, these are all mutter, but only because you're not doing anything. They're post facto. The Rambam says it's totally legitimate to look back at your life, right, and not try to predict anything or direct your actions and say, you know, hey, since I got married, my life has been better. It's a sign from Shamayim. Good. I'm glad you think that. That's a wonderful thing to think. Hopefully everyone thinks that, right? You bought a new house. Your life is better. That's a good thing. You should think that. That's fine. Or after you have had, you know, a particularly good year, you know, you walk in, you say to your kid, what are you learning? And he says, you know, Vashem Beirach as Avram Bakol, and you say, hey, that's exactly how I feel, right? It's a simon v'shamayim, so the Rambam says, that's fine, because you're not doing anything in the future. But what's the implication? And psokli psukecha is what I want to emphasize. The implication is, it's only mutter, because I'm not directing my actions based on it. But if I would even take a pasuk and say psokli psukecha, tell me what to do in the future, it would be a problem of ma'onein, mechashev, whatever, a kosem, or a harezim meguna, or something. It would be in that rubric of things that are usur. And here the Ravid says no. The Ravid says, Amar Avram, you skip a second line, Av zosh amru bayis tinok v'isha, av b'shei nachash yisimman, lo amrin lez yisra'etel inan smicha, I'm roi lismo, sorry, it's not the, it's not here, sorry, it's in the Beis Yosef. If you look in the Beis Yosef in 15, he says, "Vekashali, the Isig Marba, who Pirka Gufe, the Yochan of Bala, Mezel Bava, Lakbule, Ape Shmuel." What are you talking about? Right? In the Gemara, people use psokli psukecha. Why don't you look up psokli psukecha? Amarle, Ushmuel Mez, Venimna Rabbi Yochanan. Meloyarad Lebavel, it's a case where Rabbi Yochanan said, should I go to Bavel to visit Shmuel? He asked a child, Psokli Psukecha. The guy said a pasuk from which he derived that Shmuel died, and Rabbi Yochanan didn't go to Bavel. Right, and he stopped. He didn't do something because of what the child said. You see that Psokli Psukecha allows you to do something even in the future. So then he tries to defend the Rambam. He says, maybe he wasn't asking for the future. He's asking a factual question. Is Shmuel alive or dead? From which he would then figure out whether he should go down. And therefore it's in the past. And maybe since he was asking a fact question, then decided himself what to do, that's not called asking a child. That can't be. But he said other times in the Gemara, it's clear that people, Amoraim, asked children, Psokli Psukecha, tell me what pasuk you're learning and derive what they should do in the future. So it says, V'yesh lomer, the shiny awesome, blow someone al pasuk atin glavat. Maybe that's different, right? Maybe that's different. But skip to the next line. He said, but again, I don't really like it. He says, Kasav Matsinu kam gedolim sham liyunuka. He quotes this ma. Kasav Matsinu kam gedolim sham liyunuka Psokli Psukecha, V'osim maisal pi apasuk. So then he quotes the Smag and says, no, the Rambam is just wrong. Psokli Psukecha is mutter because it's a form of nevuah. Taltaras Hakodesh, and that's how Shulchan Aruch paskins that Psokli Psukecha is mutter. So here you see sort of a meta nafgamina, right? The Rambam thinks that it's usher because you should only do things which rationally I can figure out why they are, you know, take me closer to God. On the other hand, if I can't figure it out, so then it's just heebie-jeebie stuff and it's I should avoid it. According to the Gra, let's say, the Gra would say, no. The reason magic is usher is because it works and it takes you towards the force of Avodah Zarah. But if something is psokli psukecha, you're using chumish, so then it's mutar l'chatchila. Because you're tapping, right, you're connecting yourself to God. There is a story, right, I didn't do it. Did I actually put it? I don't think I did. Yes, I didn't actually put this inside, but the exact same diyun comes up with Gora Hagra, right? You can, you know, I can send it out later. But you'll find the same diyun with Gora Hagra, which again, whatever exactly it is, different forms of it, you know, you turn the Chumash, then you open it up to a page, and then you turn seven pages, and you go seven line, and then the seventh word, and whatever exactly happens, there's a whole cheshbon to it. The poskim who defend Gora Hagra say that it's mutter because it's a form of psokli psukecha. You're tapping the nevuah. Those who say it's asur say, no, it's asur because you're using the Torah as, like the way the Rambam said about mezuzah, right? You're using the Torah as a ma'un, you know, as mechashef, right? It's asur, it's terrible. There was a story in a few years ago, I cannot attest to the accuracy of any of these stories, but there was a story a few years ago of the Rabbi Eliach and Eretz Yisrael wrote a two-volume biography of the Griz. So the Griz was a Rambamnik on these things, and therefore he refused to do Gora Hagra. And I think it was when they were trying to figure out whether to leave Europe. So he tells the story that they were trying to convince him to figure out whether he should do Gora Hagra. Whether you should leave, should do Gora Hagra. He's like, no, I'm not going to do Gora Hagra. It's a violation of Tamim Tiyah, right? You shouldn't do Gora Hagra. It's a horrible thing. It leads you astray. It's not rational. Blah 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 blah. Eventually, he gave in and he did Gora Hagra. So whatever you do with Gora Hagra, right? He opened up the Chumash, seven pages, this, that, and that. It came out in the pasuk of Tamim Tiyah Hashem Elokecha, and he took it as a siman. He should never do the Gora Hagra again. Right? That's the story as it was told. I remember when I was in high school, my principal found this and he loved it. Okay, so fine. The next here, skip to 17. If you look at 17, I just gave you Shulchan Aruch, so you can see some of the issues that we have. So again, halacha lemaisa, right? Ein sholem bechozim kochem v'logor erolos. So we forbid asking the astrologers, and here he passes like the Ramban. Mishum shenem artamim tiyem Hashem Elokecha, right? As a separate prohibition. Kol shekein da'aser lishol bechozim v'nachshim v'chashvim. You should obviously not ask magicians. But in Simon Bet, Sif Bet, he tells you, however, and this is Nafkamina number two of the meta thing. So he said Nafkamina one would be things which are al taras hakodesh. Nafkamina number two will be other things which are al taras hakodesh, like simanim, right? It's a skula that you, right? We get married on whatever day, right? Sif Beis. Nagu shein maschilin v'sheini. The minhag is not to start a new activity on Mondays and on Wednesdays. According to the, right, if you look in the Birkei Yosef, he says it means not to start something on Monday and end it on Wednesday. Okay. Ve'inosim nashim elav miloy alavana, and then lechatchila you should get married only when the moon is full. And we have the minhag to start learning a new masechta on Rosh Chodesh. Because even though there isn't nichosh, there's such a thing as a simin. And you shouldn't do things against the mazel, right? There is such reality to these things that the beginning of the month is a good time to start things. But you shouldn't put too much heat in it because, you know, ain mazel Yisrael and the like. If you have a choice, so get married at the best time of the month. You don't have a choice, so get married at a different time of the month. Big deal, right? The Rama says, right, this is Nafkamina number two. According to the Rambam, we don't follow any of these things because they're meaningless. But if you think they're not meaningless, so then you could entertain a possibility, like the way the Rama paskins, which is, look, certain things, okay, so you try to do lechatchila, because if you know that the beginning of the month is an auspicious time, so why not do it at the beginning of the month? If you can't do it at the beginning of the month, so do it at the end of the month. Big deal, right? Not a big deal, right? Don't put too much stock in it, because tamim tiyam Hashem lokech, Hashem, right? Your marriage could be good, whether you get married in Rosh Chodesh, or on the last day of the month, or the middle of the month, right? But you might as well take certain things into account, certain Kabbalistic, right, notions of mazel, why not, right? Again, the Rambam would tell you, no, right? We don't do such things. I gave you in 18, 19, 20, and 21 the issue of Simna Milsa. Again, similar is Simanim. So we know, where does the notion on Rosh Hashanah that we do all these Simanim come from? It's a Beferish Gemara in Krisos. So the Gemara says, Tan Rabban Moshchanas HaMalachim Elo Alama Ayan Kidei Shetimashech Malchusan. When you inaugurate a new king, when you anoint a new king, you do it by a spring as a symbol that his malchus should be continuous like the spring. Shneimar v'yomer hamelech v'gomer v'ratim ozol gichod u'mashach ozo sham. Amar Abaye, and Abaye says, Hashad da amar simonim milsei. Once you say that there's a validity to simonim, to symbolic things, ye rogel inish lemechel reishasa kara uruvya karti v'silke tamri, then you should eat on Rosh Hashanah dates and carrots and leeks and not carrots, but whatever, leeks and all the beets, right? All these different fruits which have different types of simanim. Okay, so here you have a Beferish Gemara, which we paskin like in 19, right? Ye'adam ragya lechel brash Hashanah, rubya dainu tilson, karsi, silka, tamri, karok, shiochel, rubya, yomer, yiratzon, shirba, zichoyoseinu. And we all know, as we eat them, we say, yiratzon this, yiratzon that, yirat whatever, right? If you're most people, so you do two or three of them. If you're a good Sephardi family, you spend 45 minutes on this, right? We were by Mati and Dina, so we spent 45 minutes on the simanim. Every single simon that exists, we did it, including the head of the lamb and the head of the fish and the, oh God, whatever. And you, like, you have a whole, you know, it's a whole seder. So how do you understand such a thing? So again, if you're the Rama, if you're the Gra, and you say, look, there can be these heebie-jeebie stuff, right, which are in fact good, spiritual, they tap into good things, so then, fine. Only usher ones are usher, mutter ones are mutter. If you're the Rambam, so here you have a Gemara you got to deal with. So either, like, so clips to Kecha, you come away of interpreting it some other way, or you reinterpret it. So the Rambam doesn't address it so explicitly, but the Meiri, who in general follows the Rambam, these things does. And he says in 20, he says, Al tzachol yitu ba'amram simna milsi, she is a derech nachash. Don't think that Simna Milsa is some magic. Chalila Rosenu Miresha Hainu Askama Likros Aleim Dvarim Yoru Al Slichov Aor Al Achuva Ba'amra Milsahi. Said, what's my proof? Because you say things. We say these tfilot. Why? Rotzebosha Aros Achuva Gamiblik Vias Tfila Raksidir Deraksiman Vitoros Arayim Yazru Al Kavana. He said, the ikar isn't the beat. The ikar is the tfila you say with the beat. The beat just gives you kavana, right? when you do things which are nice mnemonics, we all know that we want a sweet year, and we daven for a sweet year with an apple and honey. Right? It's nothing metaphysical about it. It's a way of, you know, being ma'or kavana. That's why Chazal wanted you to see them while you were eating. So you have it by the meal, which will remind you not to be gluttonous. Right? Not forget that today's Rosh Hashanah, because you have these symbols on the plate. And that's why we say all these tefillot. What would be a way of understanding it in the more mystical way? So you look in the Chayadam. Chayadam says, "V'kevin shutchilas hashana." This is based on Ramban. He said, "Nogin laso simen tov lechol dvar ma'romzim lozeh." V'tam lozeh. Why do we have simanim? Ayn b'Ramban tchilas lechol kama mashikazov da ki kol zeros irin mishiyotz lamata simen lozeh lo yishtana b'shem ofen. V'zenirali barushu atam shem razal hashdomer simen milzi. The Ramban has this notion that if you do an action that instantiates a tefillah, it makes it more real. It makes the power, like the hashpa of God, or the shefa of God, come down in a real way. It makes it harder for God to renege on it, right? Because you've instantiated it in the real world, and somehow that affects the upper world. Don't ask me how, right? And that's what it does. So the Ramban and the Chayadim takes this and says, well, that's what Simna Milsi is. Not just Me'orer is a kavana. It actually affects the spiritual world. It instantiates sweetness in this world. Right? I don't just talk about sweetness. I say, God, here's the sweetness. It's real. Deal with it. Right? I don't know what that means, but it means something. Right? I don't quite understand, but something metaphysical. So, again, I think that's three sort of nafkaminas to this general approach. Right? Is that our second question, which is why are these things also? Is it because they don't work? Or because they do work, but they lead you away from God? The nafkamina being, do we avoid anything that's not rational? Or do we say that things which are not rational but are God-oriented are mutter? So psokli psukecha and goral agra, right, is one sort of set of nafkaminas, which the Rambam is explicitly opposed to as predictive. I mean, not goral agra, but it's the same idea, right? Simanim, where the Rambam school, as shown by the Meiri, would explain it away in rational ways. And the third would be, right, do we take into account at all mazel, right? Or do we say it's meaningless, or do we say it's not meaningless, but it's not that meaningful, so take into account if you can, and if not, not, which is the position of the Rama. Okay, right, so that's sort of a general framework that emerges from these two schools of thought, the Rambam S school of thought and everybody who didn't agree with the Rambam. Which brings us to the last point, which I know I have a page to go, but I don't really. I just gave you basically the whole tshuvot after this. Is the specific question I was asked that we started with was palm reading. Because the thing with palm reading is that it's not one of the classic. It's not onin, it's not machashef, it's not any of those things. So if you were asked to shayla, okay, is it asur or mutter? So what would you do?
I mean, to go one step further, there are people in Israel do palm reading or shepherd.
Exactly. So, if you're of the non-Rambam school, so then the question you have to ask is not, right, the question you have to ask is palm reading potentially one of the magical-esque things which can be done al taras hakodesh, right? So, if you look in the Zohar in 22, the Zohar believes very explicitly in palm reading. And in face reading and all types of readings of your whatever, of figuring out your future, or figuring out all that stuff from the lines on your hand and from the way your face is, etc. What he talks about in 22 is as follows. When Moshe went to find the Dayanim to make up his Sanhedrin, so he says, Vata techazem mikol ha'am, anshei chayil yirei elokim, anshei emes, sonei vatsa, haikra okmei. So, the Zohar has the following problem. What does it mean, techazeh? You shall see who is righteous. How the heck do you see who's righteous? Right? Figure it out. What do you mean, see? So he says, lefum chizu dainun. Look. Bimai. What do you look? Bidiyukna devarnosh bilan shis satrin de ka'amrat v'chulo b'haikra. Said, you can look at them, at their very image, their face, and you can figure it out. Va'ata techazeh chad besayra mikol am train b'mitzra. Said one of them you can tell from his hair, one of them from his forehead. Anshe chayel tlas ba'anfin. Right? How can you tell if he's anshe chayel from his face? Yirei Elokim arba ba'ainin. Look at his eyes. Anshe emes chamish besufsin. Right? Look at his lips. So nevata shis biyadayin misartiteon. And how do you know if they hate bribes? Look at the lines of their hands. Right, look at the lines of your hands, you'll be able to divine it. And through these signs you can tell whether these people are wise or not. So the Ramban, the Zohar, says explicitly, right, in our division of things, where does palm reading go? Well, palm reading, in theory, if you do it right, can be Altaras HaKodesh. The Zohar says Moshe Rabbeinu did it. And the Ramban says as well, 23, V'chol eilu advarim, v'chayot zibahen, chochmot yishonos amityos, heinem ukubolos miyad mekabli ha-Torah. These are true, and they come from Torah. Ukshavadu, avdu ha-chochmos, imanu v'nishar zichra m'shimush biyad mu'atim. He said, now they've been lost from most people, but some people still have it. And you look at Chaim Vital, he says, he asked the Arizal, and the Arizal said, I can't teach you. Right? But in theory, there's this whole science. The tour in 24 tells us Vinaga Rishonim Lahabit Bishirtute Hachapayim Achiyakir Binayan Vinayan Mitsuyos Vishamanu Mizkinim Shorim Shesh Bishirtute Passes Ayad Simonlis Barechbo. The minog is to look at your hands during Havdallah. Why? Because we've heard from the, I don't know, the mystics that looking at your hands is a good simon because there's all types of things you can see in your hands. I don't know what that means. I have no idea. But whatever it means something. Okay. So if you're part of the non-Rambam school, then what you would say is, okay, palm reading, well, depends, right? If you do it Altaras HaKodesh, so then it's mutter, right? It's mutter, it's like Psukli Psukecha, it's like Goral HaGra, it's like all those things, it's Altaras HaKodesh. If you're like the Rambam, it's all Aser, right? I don't care if it's a Mekubal, I don't care if it's, you know, the right, the charlatan in the street, doesn't matter. But if it's the charlatan in the street, so then, even according to the non-Rambam school, it's Aser, right? It's only if you do it Altaras HaKodesh, it's Mutter. But if you do it with the other people, it'd be Aser. Under what prohibition? So, according to the Rambam, presumably under the prohibition of Davar Megune Mod, whatever that catch-all was, after the things which aren't the specific Isurim, this will be another thing which is caught.
Megune Mod is that even if they are the specific Isurim, but if you're asking...
Right, meaning, even correct, because if you're asking, right, any of these people, even right, even when you're not doing the formal prohibition, once you're asking, you're in the rubric. Right, so if you're asking the palm reader, even if it's not Koshim or Menachesh or Mechashim, it's the Davar Megune. It goes in that whole category of things which are Megune. According to the Ramban.
So the Rambam only says Megune on when there isn't
Isurim. So it depends, right?
What you're saying is probably...
So this is so that's how Rav Schechter took it. Rav Schechter took it that the Rambam was...
Catholic.
Yeah, it was a... That's the Rambam's sort of catch-all. That anything... That asking any of these future tellers, even if it's not the formal people, is under Davar Megune. It's biblically usher under that catch-all. According to the Ramban, it's usher under the catch-all of the Chiyuv Aseh of Tamim Tia Im Hashem Elokecha. The Lechem Mishnah says explicitly in 25 that the Rambam includes this under. He says, he just says that this is actually a subcategory of Ma'onin. Whatever exactly Ma'onin is, so the Gemara has whatever Ma'onin is, but the Lechem Mishnah says the Rambam would think it's more, that asking someone to read your hands and tell you the future is some either the actual Isser of Ma'onin or a subsidiary of Ma'onin. So, it would seem clear that, according to pretty much everybody, going to a palm reader, at least if you think it's true, right, is it either a violation of Tamim Tiyem Mishal Kecha, or a subsidiary of Ma'onein, or maybe a subsidiary of Kosem, but it's going to be Aser. If you go to a Mikubal, so then Yitalchein it be Mutter. If you thought that it's a charlatan, so then... Right, I don't know what it would be. Maybe it would be Meguna, maybe it wouldn't be, right? Presumably, it would be at least Meguna, because the Rambam says you can't ask them. Okay, so what's here, what I have in the rest of it, is just three poskim who were asked this, really two. Two chuvas to Moshe Sternbach, and one to Chaim Dor Levi, where they were asked a question about palm reading, right? With all the background information, now we can sort of just breeze through what they say, and we'll see it all come together on that shiloh. So if you look at Moshe Sternbach in 26, said the Shaila was lahabid al yadayim kedei leida ha'asidos, right? To look at your hands to know the future. So he said, Rav echad balakana mechanas makumakubal. So he said, someone here and came and said, is a makubal umabit biyadayim shalaponim emegal al pizah asidos. So first he asked about the makubal case, right? Can a makubal tell you your future from your palms? So I was asked, do you have to protest? So he says, he said, look, the Zohar does talk about it. And even though ain't mazal Yisrael, that just means we can change our mazal. Doesn't mean there's not truth to it. But it's true that our mazal can tell us things. So he says, fundamentally, if you did it al Taras HaKodesh, it'd be mutter. Omnam miidach gisa harbe pamim nichshal b'diyaso achem maybe mamish li digechuch v'lachen tamid chacham rav josek and after the rav mekarev b'darko zu harbe mishpachos layados l'shmir atar al mitzvos momok bekiyah shmei kimukul rom shadoa mafsid nekram nasim tzadikim, right? Shekol devrei mamitiim v'yotzes chav v'sedo. He said, on the other hand, if you're not a real mekubal and you're using this as a ploy to be mekarev people, and it turns out you don't get it right, then you just make a laughing stock of the whole Torah. Therefore, people who are fake, so it's better that you should leave it. But to tell these Kabbalists that it's Oster Maker Adin, I can't tell them. But if the Kabbalist, quote unquote Kabbalist, doesn't really know what he's doing and he charges people a lot of money, if he charges too much money, stop him. If he doesn't charge so much money and he just does it, I can't tell you it's usur because there's some yisod to it, but he really shouldn't do it if he's a farz. And then he quotes from Rabbi Yaakov Hillel, who is one of the Zakein HaMikubalim in Eretz Yisrael. He said, "Variti sefer shalom me'agon Rabbi Yaakov Hillel shlita b'gnus elo menachshim asidos oetz ahova v'ikur gamazu lekesef mechanu asim m'shem b'kubal," quote unquote, "ushmam aroy lahem be'emes who mikabel dahinu kesef." Right? Rabbi Yaakov Hillel, who is a Kabbalist himself, said, "Yes, there is a truth to it, but 99% of the people are doing are not mekubalim, they're mekablim, they're just doing it for money, and therefore it is all a farce, and therefore you should avoid it. Ve'ein kavanasim mikro l'spal Hashem shlo Yeshua, and therefore what you should do is you should daven daglish baruchu, and you should go against it." So what does he say? As we predicted, right? He's not someone who doesn't believe in these mystical things, he does. So he says very simply, if it's done al taras HaKodesh, it's mutter. Most people don't do it al taras HaKodesh, they're stupid. So he said, it's not Asur Mikra Adin, but they're really trying to cheat you out of it. So really, you should avoid them at all costs, right? And you should not give them the money that they want. And he says the similar thing in number 27. If you just look at the last paragraph in number 27, and we was asked the Shaila later, he said, L'chaynir adavshin isra lishol lach, right? So mustaka b'kafa yad. Right, so now he talked about not the Mekubalim, he talked about Stam asking one. So here he says, it's also, he thinks it's, now here is where I'm not sure this is true. Rav Schechter said that if you ask someone who's not a Mekubal, right, so then it really is us, or under Davar Megunera, under Tamim Tiyah, Meshem Elokecha. The Rosh Sternbach takes the slightly different direction, which is, since there is a Yisod to it, Al Taras HaKodesh, and it's not under the formal prohibitions, under the of the Isurim, so it's not Asur Mikra Adin, right? If you skip down to the next line, it says Vigam Nachrios El Yidiyasa and Lo Bruros Vol Mevinos B'Kavayad Gamra. These women don't really know what they're talking about. Mevalbolos B'Dvarim Shem Emes V'Sheker Yachad, and they mix true and false together. Roy Shalishol Ben Klal. So you shouldn't do it, but isn't it Rak Lishmach Hakadosh Baruch Hu Basido? So that's not technically Asur because it exists Al Taras HaKodesh, but he thinks you should avoid it, right? Because it's stupid, right? So again, palm reading. So according to Rav Schechter, if you ask a non-Mekubal, right, it's usur. If you ask a Mekubal, if he's a real Mekubal, maybe there's a Yisrael Taras HaKodesh. You ask a fake Mekubal, it's just a waste of money, right? Maybe not usur. Moshe Sternbach thinks since there is such a thing as palm reading al Taras HaKodesh, even asking a non, right, non-Jew is not technically usur, but maybe a bad idea. The Aseh L'Charav says the same thing, right? He was asked, You can look at the whole shot. It was asked about somebody on TV, right? These people will tell future on the TV. Is it usher? Is it mutter? So he says, yes, quote the same thing. On the one hand, the Zohar says there is such a thing. Mitzan sheni, the Ramban says, tamim tiyem im Hashem lo'kecha. And therefore, you should really avoid this stuff. So therefore, he says, I don't know if it's technically usher, but we should avoid it because of tamim tiyem im Hashem lo'kecha. And he said it's similar to the to what the Ramban says about astrology, which again, right here he's more noted to be usher. Again, whether it's formally usher or it's under against the spirit of the law, he's not totally sure. But again, it's against the basic spirit of the halacha. So again, our three points were the Yisurim of magic in general. There's the formal prohibitions and then the more general ones. The point two is there. Does it exist or not, nafkamina, for all the things that are potentially altaris HaKodesh? And then a specific question of palm reading. So, if you ask real mekubalim, according to Rambam, presumably, it's a problem. According to anyone who believes in it, that like Chuvas Manhagos and the like, so then that would be mutter. Rove mekubalim aren't actually doing it, so that would not be usher, but it's a waste of money, right? And against the spirit of the law, if not the letter of the law, asking non-Jews, right, who are not doing Altaris HaKodesh, according to Rav Shechter, as an Isser Daraisa, either the Dover Maguna Me'od of the Rambam or the Tamim Tiyah of the Ramban. And according to Chuvas Manhagos, since it does exist Altaris HaKodesh, it's not formally usher, so it's just against the spirit of the law, but not the letter of the law, which is, I think, a bit of a jump, because why is it not against the Ramban Tamim Tiyah? The Aser L'Charav goes more in the direction, maybe it really is a violation of Tamim Tiyah of the Ramban, which again makes sense that when it's not done Altaris HaKodesh, then according to anyone, it's at least a violation of these general kolim of Tamim Tiyah and Davar Meguneh Me'od.